Well, we're going to go ahead and start with opening up in prayer.
Father, we thank you. God, we give you all honor and glory for your anointing that's here. We thank you, God, for this teaching. We ask that each one of us in this building be covered in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, we invite you here to minister to each one of us. And Lord, we ask that your holy angels would go to and fro through every seat to accomplish your perfect will here with each and every one of us. And Father, we thank you. We give you all honor and glory for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you all for coming out to the seminar. Just to let you guys know, neither one of us have a doctor degree. Everything that we have learned has been through the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone. Actually, the both of us did not do so well with the oral communication skills in school. So it's only by the Holy Spirit for us to even stand up here to give this to you tonight. This seminar is based upon two books that God had me write, which one is called The Brain and the other one is called The Mindsets, which both are available in the back at discounted prices, and that's the end of my book spiel because I'm not good at that. Now we're going to get into the teaching. First, we're going to do the introduction to the brain. The brain is continuously changing, and the scientific word for this is called neuroplasticity. The more that you make positive choices, the more often your brain will change its pathways in order to accommodate positive thinking. Repeated practicing new habits, behaviors, and thought patterns creates change in your life to make them more permanent. This is similar to walking down a path through the woods. The more that you walk the same path, the more noticeable that the pathway becomes. If you stop walking it, the pathway will become overgrown with clutter and hidden by the naked eye. In the spirit realm, the brain is one of the things that controls what you allow into your soul. It is the gateway to the heart, from the outside to the inside. This is why it is so important to understand how the brain works and processes things, so that you can do your part to control what you are permitting to enter your vessel. God told us in His Word that we need to take captive every thought into the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The brain is the command center, and it makes perfect sense that the enemy would want to hijack it. He wants to control us. There are many places for him to hide and try to manipulate and deceive us. He wants us to believe that he is invincible, but the truth is he has already lost.
You know, when we work in deliverance sessions and we're addressing the demons inside of people, we tell the enemy, you are three times defeated. And this is a truth in the scripture. And we stand on that word and we have confidence knowing that. You were defeated the first time you were kicked out of heaven. You were defeated the second time at the cross of Christ. And you're defeated the third time in the book of Revelation when you have your part in the lake of fire. You've already lost three times. So God has the victory, and we have that victory also through Jesus.
So you will discover tools that can be used to destroy these footholds that Satan may have right now. He needs to be challenged and told to leave in Jesus' name. Remember that everything that happens is a process. Jesus took 40 days to fast and pray in order to show us that we must persist through temptation of the enemy. One of Satan's top strategies is to attempt to separate us and deceive us, along with other tactics to inflict sickness and disease upon our bodies. We're going to go into how illnesses can can be caused by a spiritual separation. Spiritual rooted diseases can be a result in a separation on three different levels. One is the separation from God, His Word, His people, and His love. The second is separation from yourself, not accepting yourself, not loving yourself, and having guilt and condemnation. Separation from others is number three. Breaching in relationship, hatred, bitterness, envy, jealousy, competition, performance, lack of nourishing, and lack of love, and the list goes on and on. Other things that bring in sickness and disease are the power of the tongue, generational sin, and genetical inherited diseases. These diseases you suffer due to the consequence of another person and or their sin, and they are amplified by the root causes of these three things previously mentioned. These are some potential things that could be blocking your healing and causing you sickness. The first one is bitterness. Matthew 6:15. But if you do not forgive others their sin, your Father will not forgive your sin. Bitterness needs to be addressed first among the other possibilities because it is a root system that breeds many other sinful habits, and we will get into that later on in the teaching.
One of the other things that can bind and stop the healing that God wants to provide for you is accusing spirits. We read this in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down." It is very important to distinguish between conviction and condemnation. Conviction is specific and comes from the Holy Spirit to notify the conscience that something is wrong for the purpose of repentance. Conviction draws us closer to God. When you're doing something wrong, your conscience, your inner voice says, "Wait a minute, something's not right here." You know, poke, prod. As soon as you repent, that conviction should leave because you've repented, so you've corrected the problem. Condemnation is vague and comes from Satan and is designed to punish and abuse the conscience even after repentance has taken place. Condemnation drives us away from God because of shame and wanting to give up. Examples of accusing spirits are keeping records of wrongs, murder with the tongue, such as gossip and slander, illegitimate control, scrambled thoughts, jumbled thinking patterns, misunderstandings, projected fears, which are irrational or imposed fears, accusing another when you yourself are guilty, burden bearing, and becoming codependent in another's sin by attempting to be their Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, it's his job to convict people. And if the Holy Spirit can't get through to somebody, we're not going to be able to get through to somebody. So this is saying we have to let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit, and we can't take over that job. Occultism is another thing. If people practice occultism, even if they're not aware that that's what they're doing, they're still participating in it, and it's blocking healing. This also includes New Age practices as well. Number four, envy and jealousy. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. It says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." So we see here jealousy and envy is destroying your inner self. It is not beneficial to you, physically or spiritually. It takes your eyes off of God and places them upon objects or people who then become your God or obsession.
So number 5 is fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. God's word tells us about 365 times to fear not. This is one scripture a day, a year. So I really believe that with this being the way it is, God's really trying to tell us something. When you entertain a spirit of fear, you are actually telling God in your heart that he cannot be trusted to be your guide and your protector of your life. Your heart is telling God that he can't meet your needs or come through in your life, which is the opposite in the scriptures.
Number 6 is traumas and door points. In other words, entryways and footholds. These give an open door for these bad roots to come in and begin to grow throughout. They could be in your own life or somewhere from your family tree. In other words, this is saying that you may have open doors affecting your soul that are stopping your healing from things that maybe you did yourself or maybe you didn't do yourself. Maybe they came from your generational line. So these are things that we have to pay attention to and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us. For example, different phases of life, events, or situations can bring on their own traumas. These can come from birth and childhood in the form of abandonment, rejection, or unwanted pregnancy. Now, these are examples of things that can happen to you that were beyond your control. Maybe when you were young, maybe as you were growing up, even as an older adult, you can still go through these types of traumas. It is important to humble yourself before God, just as David did, and repent. Then move forward in your freedom and healing. These traumas can cause issues for both the parent and the child. When a parent gets divorced, for example, the children can question their own worth, and this will give entry to an unloving spirit. You know, if you know, just real briefly, if you're a parent and you get divorced, your kids automatically think, "What did I do wrong that this happened?" They automatically assume it's their fault, and it's not. This is a decision or a lack of responsibility, or something has taken place between adults that know better. Okay, we need to put the blame where it belongs, and we need to be seeking healing for our children with what we've put them through. So we have to take the accountability for our actions.
There is a nugget that God has shown us that we would like to share with you and shine light in an area that may bring freedom of truth to some of you here. Strife and disunity brings sickness in the home. Fighting and coming against one another in the home is truly a weapon of the enemy. This feeds right into strife and disunity that affects your body. The noose of the situation is that it doesn't just affect those involved, but also everyone in the home. Quarreling parents can make their children sick, and bickering children can make the heads of the home ill and are unable to function as they are designed to. This is because it brings stress storms into the home, which gives way to chaos and portals of demons to wreak havoc on the atmosphere and kill the peace in the home. There are times that people can even walk into a room and can change the entire atmosphere. And it makes you wonder, why can that person have so much power to do that? It is because they hold strife, disunity, and also a spirit of anger inside of them that is breaking up the peace. If you feel this taking place, one of the good things that you can do is just pray peace and try to break through.
Real quick, I just want to mention that You can be in a household where there's stress and anxiety and discord taking place, but you yourself can be living holy and you're grounded in Christ, and those demons that are in that chaos storm in your house, they have no place in you, but they can vex your soul. They can constantly linger around the atmosphere and cause a vexation, but they don't have any place in you.
This makes a difference in your well-being. Bottling up your emotions brings a weight upon your soul and makes your heart heavy and keeps toxic emotions inside. Proper communication is necessary to release these things that the enemy uses against you and forms weapons with them to not just attack the other person, but yourself as well. Women are emotional beings, and Satan will come after them because they are called to be the helpmate of their husband as well as the nurturer of the children. Who better for the enemy to go after than the one who has been called to be the emotional supporter? She is more acceptable to the spiritual and emotional damage. God created the female to be the responder to good, strong spiritual leadership, but not abuse. Women, if you are not carrying your role as the supporter of your husband and are coming against him, you have opened yourself up to become attacked with illnesses, as well as opening the door for your husband to be attacked. You might be complaining about what he is not doing or how he is making poor choices, but are you paying attention to his good qualities more and building him up and not tearing him down? Too many times women are wanting to be supported, but that takes place when support is given. When much is given, much is received. It is our job as the wife to be asking God how to bring healing into our homes for our families, not the husband. Yes, husbands, you can be in agreement and likely have enough on your plate already. And the wives need to step up into their rightful positions for everything to line up. When strife in the home is in the home, so is destruction. Unity is the key to bring healing, and God can restore. This also takes place among other members. This can also take place among other members of the family, and it all collects in the home until eventually it works its way up to the head. If you are one causing the strife, you are accountable and responsible for the person getting sick. If you know someone who is in a family that is surrounded in strife, discord, and disunity, and it is causing them sickness, they need to be covered continuously so the enemy cannot take them down, but instead God has the room to heal them, strengthen them, and help them take their homes back from the enemy's hand. When a person endures this, a broken heart and a broken spirit can take place from this kind of strife in the home. When you walk in love, any kind of strife, division, discord, disunity, it breaks your heart spiritually. It can also break your heart physically because it goes against what you walk in. It goes against the peace that you walk in. So it does cause, you know, some damage if you don't keep yourself completely covered. However, when abuse takes place, whether it's from excessive amounts of strife, bitterness, or anger, that has become verbal abuse, emotional abuse, or from trauma of sexual abuse, this can further bring heartbreak and destruction. When the heart breaks, sickness takes root, and the enemy goes right for the immune system. You can find that a sickness can be placed due to a broken heart or a broken spirit. The scripture says in Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. This can and does destroy the immune system. There are more people getting sick nowadays than even 10 years ago. There has been such a big focus on the food and what it is doing to our bodies, but I want to ask you something tonight. How many families do you see happy anymore? Laughter is missing from the homes, and in return, more sickness has taken place. Laughter has been replaced with worry, strife, division, selfishness, technology, among many other things. Too many times people become selfish and self-centered, where they have become too involved in their phones, in their tablets, in their computers, to even get involved with their children, or with their children getting involved with their children, with their siblings. These things are causing too much division, and there needs to be a balance brought back into the home. Parents, you need to put down your electronics and make time for your children and help bring the laughter back in the home. For joy is the strength. Laughter is the medicine that is needed to help them get through anything that they face in life and in school. When you do not feel, this has caused lethargy to become active as well as the immune system become weakened. Doors are being opened to the enemy to have a foothold in our bodies and in our lives. Some of the reasons why people are getting heavy, and you notice more and more people in the families are getting heavy, is because this lethargy is taking place and they are not being active with one another. When you experience a broken heart or a broken spirit, there becomes ground for a spirit of fear. When you do not feel safe, when you feel anxiety, when you have an underlying fear that has taken root, that root causes sickness. The more that fear and anxiety decreases, the more the immune system starts to heal. The more you stress, fear, and become anxious, the more your immune system is destroyed. The more your immune system is destroyed, the more you will see an increase in allergies. Have you noticed how many more people have allergies that have appeared, and most of the time out of nowhere? The root cause could very well be a traumatic event, noticed or unnoticed, that has opened the door to fear, anxiety, or stress, and this causes the spirit to attack your immune system. Broken relationships can cause toxins to enter the bloodstream.
Now, here's an interesting fact. Most cancers come out of loss and conflict caused by fear and bitterness. Bitterness results in broken relationships. Many cancers are linked to bitterness. The word bitterness in Greek means poison.
And this doesn't mean that you yourself are guilty of bitterness. It doesn't mean you yourself are guilty of fear. But it does mean that you've been attacked with both and could cause this illness into your soul.
When bitterness and fear separate you from others, cell membrane semi-rigidity sets in and the toxins begin to collect at the cellular level. What that means is your cells that are designed to function a certain way, the makeup, the structure of them change, where they become hindered. They don't operate normally. It becomes easier for them to pick up, to take into themselves toxins and viruses. So the integrity of the cell is being compromised because of the bitterness that you may walk in. We'll get into a little bit what happens. Your body releases different chemicals and hormones when you're stressed out, and it has these effects on your physical body. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. Once a certain level of toxicity is attained within the cell, the immune sentries of your cells, the two anti-oncogenes, are destroyed. These anti-oncogenes are enzymes protecting you from the mitosis which produces cancer. Cell mitosis is dividing the cells, causing cancer to multiply. So what this is basically saying is your cell structure is being compromised. The cancer is going into your cell. It's changing the makeup of that cell to behave abnormally. And then it's replicating and multiplying itself. And when this happens, a tumor forms. A spirit of death and spirit of infirmity are at work here when this happens. Bitterness produces a disease unto death because bitterness is a form of murder.
Bitterness is a principality and is under seven spirits that reinforce this bitterness. They are rooted in records of wrongs. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springs up, trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Notice that it says, and thereby many be defiled. One person's bitterness doesn't just affect them, it affects many that they come in contact with. These record keeping, along with these seven spirits, will cause division and strife to any unity that would need to take place to protect you from this horde of hell combination of spirits. Husbands and wives, this is one of Satan's biggest tactics against marriage. If he can get this system manifested in your marriage, you will see spiritual diseases take place in your marriage, in your home, and in your body. Those who are not married and have those in your household that are participating in this, you will find that they too can cause this to happen, and it creeps a hold of the weakest link first to climb to the head of the house to try to dominate the whole home. Why? Because this, in the love scripture, one of its characteristics is no record keeping. This piggybacks on what we were talking about prior to this with stress and what it does to a person, the brain, and the home. This bitterness and record keeping is a wormhole for physical and spiritual disease. These seven spirits are unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, anger, hatred, violence, and murder. You have to get rid of them and speak healing into the wounded areas and throw the record-keeping book away. To begin healing of this is you first have to admit the issue and be accountable for your part in it. Then forgive the person and release them and yourself from the wrongdoing or the relation or the situation as a whole. Cut any soul ties that have been formed. Repent for the bitterness and any other sin that has crept up in there towards the person, the situation, or anything or anyone else involved. Then you ask God to flush out the pain, the toxic memories of it out of your brain so that you do not repeat this toxic behavior. Then when you have made the necessary steps according to the Word of God to change any behavior or habit that has come from that traumatic, from that trauma that took place.
When this happens and you apply these strategies, physical as well as spiritual healing can take place and be maintained. Sometimes record keeping and wrongdoing is done due to fear. Fear of getting hurt, rejected, or not feeling loved, etc. Fear and disobedience seems to be the number one door the devil will use to get a hold of your body. You need to close the door points of the entrances by becoming obedient and also walking out of fear and into faith. Faith and fear are equal in this dimension. Both demand to be fulfilled. Fear and faith are similar in the fact that they both believe in something that hasn't happened yet. So that we have to rightly divide and choose faith, because you have so, and I don't want to get into tomorrow's teaching, but real quick, I'll just say you have soul wounds that are lodged inside of your heart. Now, how did they get there? Because of memories and emotions. The part of your brain that deals with memories and emotions is your limbic system. It's a subconscious thing. It's an automatic reaction. Oftentimes, you don't think about it. You just react. So that's where they're lodged. 99% of people, when they make a decision, before they do that, what do? They reflect on past memories and how they feel. So they're going to the limbic system to say, what's down here that's going to help me make my decision now? Okay, so if you have soul wounds in there, you're going to make decisions from a wounded perspective, and it's going to hurt yourself and people around you. Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That's the definition of faith. Faith in God's future for you. Faith is God's future for you. Fear is Satan's destruction of your faith and ultimately your future.
The connection of the immune system and the brain is the blood. The brain sends out the electric to keep the blood flowing to the heart. While the heart works in unity with the brain to keep the blood flowing, and the immune system fights to keep it all healthy. It is in the blood that the enemy uses as his highway system to travel through and transport his poison, viruses, and illnesses in the body. How your brain responds to this situation of life can affect your immune system, and we're going to take a deeper look into this and see where these things need to be addressed and corrected.
Talking about the immune system, God created your immune system to maintain your body, His creation. He created it to protect you and not destroy you. God created your body to fight off invaders. The average person develops one or more mutant cancer cells at least 200 times in a lifetime. When you have a healthy immune system, you have killer cells that are active and in full volume. They will recognize these invaders and mutant cells, viruses, or bacteria, and attack them and destroy them. So with a healthy immune system, you have little combat cells with machine guns. They're like a SWAT team. And their assignment is to go out and execute the cells that are cancerous or malformed. In all autoimmune diseases, the white blood cells decide that a part of your body is the invading enemy and needs to be destroyed. White blood cells are the cells of the immune system that are involved in protecting the body against both infectious disease and foreign invaders. Immune system disorders cause abnormally low activity or a hyperactivity of the immune system. In cases of immune system hyperactivity, the body attacks and damages its own tissues. Immune deficiency diseases decrease the body's ability to fight invaders, causing vulnerability to infections. And if you think about this spiritually, there's an autoimmune disease in the church where you have the individual people, this brother coming against that brother, trying to get a bigger anointing and rob his position. This sister talking about that sister. Can you believe they're doing this again? They're all out to get me. That kind of stuff. That's an autoimmune disease in the church because it's friendly fire. The cells in our body are supposed to fight infections, diseases, viruses. That's like saying demons that are trying to operate in people in the church. We're supposed to be attacking and fighting the demonic powers, not the people. But there seems to be an autoimmune disease in the church, and that shouldn't be. So going back to the body's immune system, in response to an unknown trigger, the immune system may begin producing antibodies that, instead of fighting infections, attack the body's own tissues. Treatment for autoimmune diseases generally focus on reducing immune system activity. Your spiritual enemy wants to destroy your immune system, which is your marrow. Your blood has its origin in the marrow. The killer cells, white blood cells, and red blood cells are found in the marrow. Your bone marrow is what produces your blood. It's what makes your blood. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We thought it was very interesting how God spoke right in this scripture. He compared the physical to the spiritual. He says dividing soul and spirit, that's spiritual, and joints and marrow, that's physical. So it's interesting how God connects those two there.
And also the emotional, which is your thoughts and your attitudes.
Yes. The marrow produces the blood that is in our body. Our blood contains the DNA which makes up every part of who we are. Why is this important to Satan? Science has proven that the way you think, feel, and act becomes encoded into your own personal DNA. They have called this term epigenetic modification. If you are deep into sin, your DNA changes to reflect that preference and choice. Your brain also becomes wired to auto-tune to these tendencies. So in other words, that's basically saying your brain is being programmed to follow or gravitate towards that sin, towards that type of thinking that leads to sin. That's what that's saying. And it's being written into your DNA. When your brain becomes wired to sinful tendencies through habits and mindsets and beliefs, your heart becomes cold and indifferent to the sin as you repeat the addictive tendencies and habits. This is basically saying if you keep doing that sin over and over again, ignoring the conviction, you'll eventually develop a hardened heart. What started in your mind became a routine or a habit that became addictive. This literally began modifying your DNA. After this, it seeped down into your heart and became a way of life that is acceptable to the corrupted heart. How many people have lost a wedding band down the sink? And you watched it swirl around and go down the drain. You thought, no, I can't get it. This is what happens when thoughts that we don't take control over swirling around in the sink, and then it finally goes down the drain into our limbic system. You can't get your hand through that small drain. And there's even a fear of, I don't really know what's down there. I don't want to stick my hand down there. So now you've got to go under the sink, take the gravity trap off, and fish through there and get your ring. But that's an involved process that some people don't know how to do. So your limbic system, the subconscious part of your brain that holds on to the memories and the emotions, that's the part where once it goes down there, it's going to be extra work to try to break these habits now, to try to get out of this rut. This is possible because one of the connections between the mind and heart is the DNA. The conscience is seated within the heart, and therefore what is perceived and believed is rooted in the genetic code that formed them in the first place. There could be genetic on and off switches that have been programmed into us because of what our parents or grandparents have done. Sin has consequences, and it does pass down genetically into future generations. If we lived in full-blown sin, those tendencies have been modified in our own DNA and brain, and we will pass those down encoded tendencies into our children. This is what science calls gene expression. This gene expression and modification will last up to 3 to 4 generations. This is why the Bible says in Numbers 14:18, "The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, and forgiving sin and rebellion. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sin of the parents to the 3rd and 4th generation." Many people have suggested God is not fair for punishing children because of the sins of their parents. A more accurate interpretation could be, God will allow your tainted DNA to pass down through your generations through epigenetic modification and gene expression, and it will take submission to God and diligent work to cleanse the DNA to provide a healthy future for your offspring.
When you go to the doctor, the very first questions that they ask you is, what is your family history? Think about how far back do they ask you to go. Usually it's about 3 generations. So it is actually very good for everybody to sit down and really pay attention to what is your family history. Because it doesn't just tell you physically what's going on with you, but it will also give you insight spiritually. And you can also stop yourself from having to go through something that would have been passed down the generational line. This includes behaviors, thought patterns, habits, mindsets, and even fragments of your ancestors going from one generation to the next generation. You do this by studying what you're doing, what your children are doing, and things to that nature.
And this can work in the reverse also. You may have positive traits and qualities that you pass down to your children also. It doesn't always have to be, you know, you're passing down a demon or a sin nature. You could pass, you know, blessings, you could pass gifts, you could pass that down also to your children as well.
So, into the invading of the marrow, Satan tries to access your marrow. He does this because he wants to control your thoughts, make his spirituality your spirituality, get you to follow the laws of sin, create relationship breakups, stir up strife and promote conflict, promote inappropriate reactions, initiate verbal, physical, and emotional, as well as sexual abuse. He also wants to speak to you in the first person as though it was your own thoughts, so you do not recognize them as the enemy. This happens quite frequently when you sit there and say, I can't believe I did this again. I can't believe how stupid I am. Things like that. Really, that is not you saying that. That is the enemy trying to get you to come into agreement that you will not go where God wants you to go. You will not reach your potential, because if he can keep you in that place, then you will not move. You'll stay stagnant in that area. All of these tactics involve physical parts of your brain. It is with memories and emotions that the enemy fights his battles in the mind to steer the outcome and the direction of our actions. All of these attacks reflect right back to the brain. If the enemy can destroy your relationship with God, others, and yourself, then he has access to your immune system and can weaken the functioning of your brain. So where are your thoughts coming from? Are they from God, yourself, or from Satan's kingdom? Unrighteous thinking can provide the pathways for destruction of the immune system. Have you ever struggled with tension? When you have tension, have you ever noticed the back of your head and neck hurt from that tension? The region near the hypothalamus gland is where this starts to hurt. Then with tension, stress, and pressure, you begin to rub your neck and it starts to slightly relieve it. This is because it has all collected in this area. To understand more about this area, we're going to take a look at the medulla. The medulla is the brainstem, and it's one of the most vital regions of the body's survival. It is the connection between your brain and your spinal cord. The brainstem also maintains vital control for your heart and lungs. It is the major lifeline in your body, and the need to understand its role is very important. It manages vital functions such as breathing, circulation, sleeping, digestion, and swallowing. The vital survival reflexes include vomiting, sneezing, and coughing. The brainstem is one area the enemy will target to coil and entangle spirits, devices, control, and infirmities so that it can have access to multiple areas in your body. It is like an entryway in both directions. Personally, I have witnessed and experienced multiple times where spirits have lodged in this area. When these are cast out and things are removed, there is an immediate result of relief, and change takes place both physically and spiritually. This is where there has been built up of stress, spiritual snakes coiled, bodies paralyzed in areas trying to shut the body down, and even has had a hard time keeping your head up correctly. We have had to cast out numerous spirits from this area and remove many devices in the spirit realm. There has been multiple times where the nerves have been addressed in this area and the person was set free of pain and it was even easier for them to be able to breathe. The brainstem is connected to both the lungs and the heart function. So when your heart and lungs are not functioning properly, you can pray over this area. For your lungs, you can command your body to breathe correctly as your body has been created to breathe. Command the area of
rhythmicity.
To have your breathing rate to be correct, for the body to receive the correct oxygen level that your body needs to be healthy. For your heart, you can command your circulation to be regulated. You can command your heartbeat to be in tune to the blueprints that God has created it to beat. Each person has a unique rhythm that God has placed inside of us, known as God's heart song. Line up your heartbeat with God's personal song for you, for the function of your body. You can also command your blood pressure to normalize and stay that way. Command every spirit of anxiety, fear, discouragement, disappointment, frustration, anger, and anything else that the Holy Spirit brings to your attention and to leave in the name of Jesus. You can command every sickness, disease, infection, toxin, and anything else that the enemy has placed there to destroy your heart to go to the pit in the name of Jesus. As you see, your brainstem is a place where many things can be addressed, and most of them are due to fear, stress, depression, anger, and things like that. The neck is where the head and the body are connected, and without it, neither the body nor the head can function or live. If you suffer from fear, stress, anger, etc., pay attention to your neck and the tension in your neck. As you pray for your neck, you will feel that God will go in and relieve the stress tension, and you will feel much better. But don't stop at the neck. Make sure you include your brainstem so that every area is addressed. Now it is important to check your thoughts and where your focus has been upon that could be manifesting this attack. Fear and anxiety brings dangerous effect on your body, soul, and your spirit. There is a thing that God has created and has given us a fight or flight response. It is a natural fear that is known as a part of the limbic system. This is a part of our creation, but the enemy would love for you to permanently be in fear because fear is a barrier to love and to receive love. You cannot have an ungodly fear and love in the same place. To be in the fight or flight mode, you would need adrenaline. When you are stuck in the root of fear, you are really just shadow boxing with an invisible enemy all of your life. It doesn't go away and it becomes progressive if it is not dealt with. It becomes a part of life that seems normal to you, but really it is causing you physical, emotional, and spiritual sickness. It is just an emotional fear. If it is just an emotional fear, you can turn it around and fight the real enemy with it. If it is a spirit, it will need to be addressed and cast out. I personally was set free of 12 characteristics of fear. So I do have some experience in how this affects your body, and you really do believe that what you're living is normal. You don't understand and you do not see what other people see of running around trying to please people. In your mind, you're thinking you're doing something good, but really you're doing it out of fear and not out of true love. There are things that parents can do to your children that can cause them to be stuck in this fear, and it makes them become part of who they are. You need to really ask God to help you to address these things, because what we do not want is our children to live in fear, but to be able to receive and give love.
The limbic system. The limbic system is a set of structures in the brain. These structures deal with emotions such as anger, happiness, and fear, as well as memories. It plays an important part in regulating emotions. It is what processes our emotions and drive. The limbic system also deals with the functions of memories of arousal or stimulation. The limbic system contains a reward circuit that releases a chemical called dopamine. It motivates you to repeat important body behaviors such as eating, having fun with friends, and falling in love. Dopamine is a feel-good chemical. When you do something that makes you feel good, your brain is releasing dopamine to make you feel good. So it's telling your limbic system, hey, pay attention, do this again so you can feel good more. When the limbic system experiences an artificial reward, it can encourage the risky behaviors that have brought these artificial rewards, such as taking drugs. This is because drugs cause a release of a higher level of dopamine, or a high. When you take illicit drugs, what's happening is it's forcing your brain to just release straight dopamine into your being to make you feel that good, to give you that high. And what happens is you become addicted to that false high, that synthetic thing that's not real. Now, things that are supposed to please you and make you happy, they don't make you happy anymore. They don't please you anymore. You know, hanging out with your friends or just, you know, going to a birthday party, things that would make you happy normally, doesn't even do anything for you anymore because now your brain's hooked on that drug, that fix, that addiction. That's the only way to feel good now. And your brain programs itself around this. When this takes place to get that high or pleasure from the dopamine release, it makes it harder to enjoy normal and simple pleasures and continues to influence you to desire the artificial stimulation and release. It repeats the activation of the reward pathway that leads to the addiction. Just as this happens with someone who is on drugs, it can also happen to those who are involved with pornography, overeating, or anything that brings gratification that is desired to be repeated. When these things are distorted due to the sin and the bad behavior, an imbalance takes place. A craving for the artificial imbalanced behavior increases. This is how addictions are formed. In other words, they just want more drugs now. I gotta have the drugs, or I've gotta have the porn. This is why you see some heroin addicts would rob from their own mother. You know, they'll do insane things that from the outside looking in, you're saying, how can that person do that? Well, what's happened is really they can't help themselves once they've reached this level of addiction. Their brains have been programmed to, you have to do this or you're going to die. And so they do it. It's a drive. It's an impulse. It's demons. It's driving them to do this.
So they need someone that would stick by their side and help reinforce new habits, new ways to do things, and help them with a new lifestyle to where it will start training the brain that they no longer need that artificial stimulation, but instead, you know, go to where it was supposed to be as God had created it to be. But deliverance is definitely necessary for these things to take place.
Yeah, and it's one thing to get the demon out, but now you got to reprogram their brain. Now you got to teach them how to live normally all over again, because those neurological pathways have been destroyed. And it's no different than teaching a child how to relive again, you know, in a healthy way, in the correct context. It's a learning process. And it sounds crazy because you'd think, well, they should know, they're an adult. No, they may have been raised once, but if the drug usage is heavy enough or the addiction's bad enough, it can actually override, you know, the principles they were raised with. So that you have to consider that too.
And I really believe that that's why God has been so adamant about our love walk, because it is love that breaks that yoke and helps them feel that they can overcome these things.
The limbic system is made up of the hypothalamus, amygdala, thalamus, and hippocampus, and sits above the brainstem. The limbic system is a target area where the enemy brings havoc and causes chaos in a person. Not only are you dealing with the emotions of anger, happiness, fear, etc., and the memories along with it, but this would be a place where great pain would be stored and spirits would be hidden and lodged in. Remember, the limbic system is a subconscious part of the brain. You're not aware of what's going on in there. It's not something you can think about. Well, let me look inside and see what's in there. Oh, yeah, you know, you can't do that because it's hidden from you. The limbic system is also, okay, you're walking through the forest. You see a snake down there. It's super poisonous. One bite, you could die. You're going to jump. You're going to automatically just, you know, step back from that snake. You're not even going to think about it. You're just going to react. That came from your limbic system. That's what your limbic system does. Don't think about it. There's no time to think about it. It's fight or flight. So when you have bondage in that area, you don't sit down and think, well, you know, I think maybe I'll do this sin here. No, it's an automatic, impulsive thing. You just, it comes up, you have to do it. You don't even think about it. That's why it's so dangerous. It is the place where imbalance can throw off an entire person's beliefs and actions. The limbic system is one of the major places that are affected by sin and needs to be transformed by new, healthy habits and behaviors. The limbic system is where you will find spirits with addictive behaviors, such as alcoholism and drug and tobacco addictions, along with spirits of thievery and criminal behaviors. These are just the beginning of what hides itself in there. If you have come across a person who suppresses their feelings, This would be the place where it is collected and causes a blockage in their ability to process those emotions. We all know people that they just shove everything down. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm doing just fine. I'm great. They're dying inside. Hey, I'm doing just great, man. There's no problem here. When you do that, you're shoving all those emotions and feelings and pain deep inside of your limbic system. And without you realizing it, what happens is as you go on through life, you start making poor quality decisions, never understanding why it is. You'll ask yourself, why does this always happen to me? Why am I always failing? Why am I always finding myself in bad situations? It's because you're not dealing with that huge amount of pain and trauma that's been stacked up inside of you. That's what's causing you, to influencing you to make poor decisions. It robs you of your emotional intelligence. When somebody does something that may offend or upset you, you'll always overreact because you don't know how to process and handle those negative emotions. So what happens is your limbic system makes a memory with that emotion and brings forward that behavior. Let's look at it in another way. A person who feels condemnation when they're being corrected could cause a trigger to be activated and react out of offense and shut down emotionally. You're lovingly trying to correct someone and you're doing it nicely, but instantly to that person that has this wound, they instantly shut down. A trigger happens. They think, nope, you're just punishing me now. You're out to get me. You know, I'm in trouble again. That's not true. That's how the pain is causing you to respond that way, because you're not dealing with the pain. And the truth is, you're being lovingly corrected, and it's necessary for your betterment. But you'll always perceive it as an attack through that lens. Then whatever they do to relieve themselves from the condemnation is what they will resort to. Examples may be food, addictions, fantasy realms, etc. In other words, that person feeling condemned will sort of brew in their emotions. Oh, I feel so condemned now. They're always out to get me. I'm being punished. I'm in trouble. Well, there's always something they go to. I feel that way. Now I have to feel better. Let me do something to make myself feel better. There's always something they go to. It could be, you know, they go out and do drugs. You know, they just pretend to be a totally different person, you know, because they can't handle the pain at that moment. It could be a whole host of different things. But there's always something that they gravitate towards as an escape. And so you'll see, if you look at the patterns, you can see what it is that they're doing for an outlet of escape. One way to analyze your triggers and associations with emotions is to look back and see what you do when you feel negative emotions. Look for patterns and habits. In other words, you're reflecting on yourself. When I feel bad and I have negative emotions manifesting, what do I normally do? Do I start getting angry? Do I start doing a particular habit? What is it that I'm doing? That can help you identify where in your mind that there's a blockage, and you can remove that blockage. You can seek help through a deliverance team or, you know, your pastor. You can find out, why am I doing this, and what do I need to do to change this habit to something healthy, to something constructive, and you can find healing in that. You can also address the addictions at this part of your brain and remove all spirits attached to them. It is also a good idea to ask God to remove the effects of the reward system of the addiction and sin. In other words, there's demons lodged in the limbic part of your brain. You know, if you're having emotional issues, you shove them down, you can't quite get them out, they're stuck in there. Cut these spirits off your limbic system specifically. And then it's saying, ask God to rewire your brain, because all this time you've been programming your brain, this evil thing makes me feel good. I'm going to keep doing it and repeating it. Now it's a habit. I can't get out of it. You're asking God to undo that. God, you know, it's my fault. I did it, but I repent. Please rewire my brain to desire healthy things. Please rewire my habits to choose godly things, and let that be the new norm that I go to in my mind. Most addictions are rooted in underlying trauma that involves some type of root of fear. Fear can compromise your immune system because if it is prolonged, it causes an excess cortisol drip. Cortisol is a natural occurring steroid. Cortisol is not the problem. The problem is when it is in excess. Excessive cortisol is toxic and destroys your immune system. Too much of anything most of the time is not good. It is released when you do not feel loved or feel insecure love. This opens the door to fear. Reverend Adam gave us an excellent analogy. He told us that if you're camping and you come out of your tent and there's a huge bear right there and the bear's chasing you, your body is going to release adrenaline to give you all kinds of energy to run from the bear. Now, on average, you're only going to be running from that bear for maybe 5 minutes tops till you're somewhere safe. So what happens is your body's releasing that adrenaline so you can accomplish that within a 5 minute window. But when you're stressed out and you're full of anxiety or you're living in fear, your body's still releasing adrenaline and cortisol as though you were being chased by a bear. But you don't stop being anxious or fretful or fearful after 5 minutes. You might stay that way for days or weeks at a time, living in fear and anxiety. So you're actually, your body's releasing constant adrenaline and cortisol for days and weeks at a time. It was only designed to be a quick 5 minute thing to get you to safety, but it's doing so much damage to your physical body. It's throwing all your hormones out of balance. It's having a major impact on your health. I believe it's your metabolism that completely shuts down as soon as cortisol or adrenaline's in your body. That's dangerous. That means you're stressed out, gaining all this weight, you're developing all these health problems, and it's like no matter what I do, I can't seem to get rid of it. Well, it could be stress-related. Your hypothalamus and pituitary gland is what regulates the right amount of cortisol for your bloodstream. Cortisol is released in response to fear and, more on point, anxiety. By giving into fear and any kind of gives Satan's kingdom access to weaken your immune system. The more fear you experience, the more cortisol is released into your body. When you have long-term fear, it destroys interleukin 1, 2, and the T cells. These are all things that assist your immune system. That's what those are. They help your immune system. We talked about the killer cells with machine guns shooting cancer cells. Those guys are being destroyed because of the excessive fear and the cortisol.
So we have talked about the limbic system, and we would like to go just a little deeper with it. The limbic system is the mind, which is the soul, which is part of the soul, and the body connection. It is the connection between your psyche, your thoughts, and the body. It is the connection between soul and the body. Everything concerning through travels right through this connection. Good thoughts and bad thoughts. Everything is connected in order to process through and gives it expression in a psychological part of our lives. Just as fear puts you to fight or flight, peace brings you to peace. Think about how many times has God said, come up into the third heavens. How many times has he said, enter into my peace? There's reasons why. Multiple reasons why, but one reason is because he wants to bring us to that place where we can receive real healing and to be able to get our bodies back into function. Some examples are John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Earlier we were talking about a broken heart being troubled. You know, God's saying don't let your heart get to that place. Don't walk in fear. Instead, walk in his peace. And as a broken heart would be allowing you to get sick, walking in peace will bring you healing. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. One of the reasons why you may not be in perfect peace is because your mind is not stayed upon God, nor are you trusting God. There's a big difference between having your mind on God and trusting God. And we're going to get into a little bit more of that tomorrow. The antidote to fear is fellowship with the Godhead. 2 Timothy 1:7. We've read it before, and I'm going to read it again. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Power represents the Holy Spirit. Love represents the love of the Father. And the sound mind represents the Word of God, which is Jesus. If you are filled with fellowship of the love of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, fear does not have a shot at you. If you are listening to fear, you are not listening to God. The limbic system functions and the emotional aspect of behavior is related to survival. When you do not feel loved, when you feel you've been victimized, when you do not feel secure, you fight for survival. When you have been rejected by a parent or by someone else, when you do not feel loved, when you feel violated, when you are always looking over your shoulder for the next hit to come, you are in fight or flight. The limbic system also functions in memories, and although behavior is a function of the entire nervous system, the limbic system controls most of its involuntary aspects. One thing about some illnesses is that the invisible, beyond conscious thought, is beyond conscious thought. It involves everything deep within the person, and we usually do not understand by our own intellectual process of what's going on. That is why it is difficult to see. There are many times we walk in deception. There's many times that we do not see things. And God actually told me something the other day. He said, if you could see everything, why would I give you a shepherd? And it kind of took me back a little bit, you know, because I don't ever really question that. But so many people is like, why didn't I see that? You know, why didn't I know that's going on? And that's because we're not trusting the people that God has placed in our path to tell us what is correct. Or we may not be filling our lives with people that should be able to do that. You can only see if you understand the spiritual aspects from a biblical perspective. You can only see it if you understand the enemy and his methods of tactics. The 8 R's to freedom. Number 1 is recognize. You must recognize what it is. Number 2 is responsibility. You must take responsibility for what you recognize. Number 3 is repent. You must repent to God for participating in what you recognize. Number 4 is renounce. You must make what you recognize your enemy and renounce it. Number 5 is remove. You must get rid of it once and for all. Number 6 is resist. When it tries to come back, you must resist it. When it tries to come back, you must resist it when it tries to come back. Doesn't say if, and it doesn't say God resists. It says, when it comes back, you resist it. Number 7, rejoice. Give God thanks for setting you free. Too many times that is short-lived. We get set free, and then we thank God for the moment, but we do not continuously thank God for our freedom. And this gets us in a whole lot of trouble because we quickly forget from where we came, and that causes us to be judgmental and causes us to allow other people to fall because we are not giving back, which is number 8, restore. Help someone else get set free. We will get into more ways of different mindsets and how they affect our lives, as well as how much we do react and act out of soul wounds, and how much of renewing our minds is a part. You can find a whole lot more in the brain book about how it explains how to find different parts of your brain to be able to address it in prayer, especially for intercessory, not just for yourself, but for others. And that concludes our teaching for tonight. We hope that you gleaned a lot from what has been brought forward. We are going to, like I said, speak about mindsets and different things about soul wounds tomorrow and how renewing our mind and what our part is in it. But if you would like prayer or ministry, we invite you to come up to the front. If not, you're dismissed in Jesus' name. But Father, we just thank you. We give you all honor and all glory for all that you have brought forth over your pulpit this night. Father, we thank you for the seeds that were planted. Father, we cover those seeds in the blood and the love of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that they will grow root and they will bear much fruit for your kingdom. Father, we thank you for the insight that will bring us freer and closer to you. Father, we thank you for all the knowledge and the wisdom that you have done. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are going to go with each individual person and continue to minister to them. We thank you, Heavenly Host, that you are going to protect and continue to minister to them also as they go to their homes and as they lay down to sleep. Father, we thank you that the enemy cannot steal this from them, but Father, that you will grow and mature it for your kingdom and for their good. And we thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.